Our scripture for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. Where we read the following: For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see our calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should carry in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, you glories, let him glory in the Lord. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to verse 18, we read the opening words, which say, for the message, which is followed by, for the message of the cross. And here we see the essence of our proclamation, that we proclaim Jesus Christ, we proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. We proclaim Jesus crucified on the cross of Calvary. We add those words, he was crucified for our sins, that his blood was shed for the complete remission of all of our sins, his body broken again also for the complete remission of all of our sins. The direction of all that we do, of all that we say, is Christ-centered. It's in Christ. We live in Christ. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Lord. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was dead, buried. The third day again, he arose from the dead and he ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God, where he rules over all things. All things are in his hands. That's what we confess. We confess our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaks then in 1 Corinthians 18 of this message, for the message of the cross. This is the message that we have to give to this world. But we live in a world of much media all over the place, on our cell phones, on our TVs, in our newspapers, in our magazines, those we talk with, those whom we hear. There's messages that are being proclaimed all around us. Everyone has a message. Everyone has something to say. Everyone has an opinion about something or other. And these messages come to us all the time. There's the message of this world that is around us. And these messages that come to us seek to convince us, seek to tell us something. And as we listen to the world around us, especially of late, we realize more and more that what the world is seeking to proclaim to us is something that's quite a bit different than what we confess, that message of the cross. The message world doesn't speak about a cross, but rather speaks about triumph, about getting ahead, about succeeding. We have the heralds around us, those who are in politics, who have climbed little by little until they got to the top. We have those who are in Hollywood, movie stars, musicians. We have the ones who are rich and wealthy, the ones who have developed programs for the computers and things like that. We have all these important names that float around and all who carry a message, all who are telling us what we need to do. We have the whole matter of COVID and the messaging of COVID and to be stay safe and stay at home and do this and do that. We have the climate alarmists who also give their message of climate control and we need to save the planet. And this is the way to save the planet. They come with a message. And they come with a message and they come with a science that's to support their message. They come with a wisdom. This is why we need to do what we need to do. There's something behind what we're saying. We have investigated. We have found out. We have knowledge. And based upon our knowledge, this is the message that we're bringing to you. This is what you must do. And so our culture, our countries, our economies, our jobs, our lives become more and more regulated according to the message of this world and the science that is behind that message. But as the world comes to us with their message, it comes to us with a vacuum. There's something missing in it all. They speak about love. They speak about tolerance. They speak about being to help each other. They talk about a collective society. We must do that which is good for our society, which is good for our country, which is good for everybody. But that message has a vacuum. There's something that rings hollow. There's emptiness. And that emptiness is the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus. And because they don't know Jesus, all the wisdom, all the science that they have becomes distorted. It becomes manipulated. Because when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we are looking at the wisdom of God, the science of God. We are looking at God Himself. For Jesus Christ is not only man, but truly God. He's the one who came to save the world. Just as the climate alarmists come to save the world. Jesus Christ came to save the world, but He didn't come to change the world of changing climate. But He came to change the world because of sin. And sin is something the world doesn't want to talk about. And as long as the world refuses to talk about sin, the world stands in opposition to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because what is sin? Sin, as we've read this morning, the Ten Commandments, sin is breaking the commandments of our Lord. And today, more and more, with all the science, with all the wisdom that this world can amass, it can't deal with sin. And even more so, it seeks purposely to forget about the commandments of God and to negate the commandments of God. The wisdom of this world stands in opposition to all that God says. For this reason, when Paul speaks about, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the way of salvation. It's the way to deal with sin because Christ came to deal with our sins, to die for our sins. And we are sinners, standing in the need of God's grace and his mercy. Therefore, in verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world as the world seeks to move its agenda more and more forward? As we look at the world through the eyeglasses of Scripture, we see more and more and more that things are not well. On the one hand, with all this movement about the climate, about the economy, about this and about that, more and more as man seems to want to save or seeks to save the world around us, seeks to do something about everything, more and more, it escapes from his hands. And we see violence in the streets. We see hate. We see rage. Man speaks about tolerance and becomes more and more intolerant. And rather than bringing unity and a collective society, society seems to be collapsing in upon itself. And rather than love being the norm, love winning out, we see more and more deceiving hate. Man hates because man has not learned to love God. And God comes and comes to this world and he asks these questions of this world. Where is the wise of this world? And the world would bring forth all its scientists and all its leaders, all its politicians, and they'd present to us, this is wisdom. And yet God looks at all that the world can offer and says, but where is it? Where is that message? Where is that message of salvation? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Because man is lost. He's lost in his sins, and he cannot cure sin. He seeks to cure viruses. He seeks to vaccinate against viruses, but he can't cure sin. He can't vaccinate sin, and he sins more and more and more, and society collapses in upon itself. So Paul says in verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed." The foolishness of the cross of Jesus Christ. In our prayer, we prayed for the many mission works that we had throughout the world, both far and near. What is mission work? Mission work is bringing forth the message of Jesus Christ. Mission work is telling the others, there is a Savior who came to this world, and he came to this world, and he humbled himself. And he humbled himself to death. He humbled himself to death on the cross of Calvary, and he died. And he was buried. That's the message that we give to this world. With all the wisdom, with all the opinions in the newspapers, all the magazines, all that's written, all that's proclaimed, we come and we say, this is wisdom. This is wisdom. We proclaim a Savior that was placed on a cross in a place called Calvary in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. There he died, and there he was buried, and he died, and he took upon himself all of our sins. Of all the people who ever have lived, who live and will live, all those who believe on him. He died for those people. He died for us. He took upon himself our sin. And if you believe in him, you too will be saved. And Christ will have died for your sins as well. And that's the message that we proclaim to this world. That's what the message we proclaim to our neighbors, to those around us. It's that simple and that hard, but it's the wisdom of God. And we tell others about it, and we tell others about it, and we tell others about it, And there are those who believe, and there are others who look at us and are wondering, what in the world are we talking about? It doesn't make any sense at all. And they listen to us. They may want to read the Bible. They may want to learn, study this more, got to think about it. They may draw close, and yet that word of the cross, that word of humbleness, of humiliation, of taking our own cross and following Jesus Christ, of obeying his commandments, of living for him, just doesn't mesh with the wisdom of this world. And they fall away. They have ears to hear, but they cannot hear. They have eyes to see, but they cannot see. And their heart remains hardened, or even more hardened, against the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's speaking about in this message that we have before us. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, through its own wisdom, through its own intelligence, through its own formation, its own science, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save, and we can add the word some, to those who do believe. And then Paul speaks about different peoples. He speaks about the Jews and the Greeks. We can even say people at this time. For it says, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. If I could just see God, if God could do some wonderful works, if he could explain this just a little bit more, if he could speak to me personally, or if he could come through the wisdom of this world. And those who are trying to mesh the wisdom of this world with the message of Christianity, maybe we need to bend the message of Scripture and bend the world so we can find some unifying between this world and our God and the message of Scripture. And it'll speak about, for example, we have the Belgian Confession. There's two ways to come to know God. We can see God in the creation all around us, that there is a creator around us. But at the same time, that knowledge, that science isn't sufficient unless we proclaim that message of Scripture that only informs us who that creator is. But there are those who say, no, they're two equal books. They're science of all around us, of nature, and they're the science of Scripture, and we just need to mesh the two together and put it all together, and then we'll find God that way. The wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man with the wisdom of the Bible. It doesn't work. Little by little, man gets sucked into it. He develops a theory of evolution based on science and mixes it with creation, with the message of creation, and we get Christian evolutionists, and so on and so forth. It's always a mixing of the world with the mixing of Scripture, the mixing of the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. And God says, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, we need to return to that message of salvation. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And that's a stumbling block. That's a stumbling block for this world. We can try to compromise with the world, to mix with the world. But what the world doesn't want to acknowledge about Jesus is that he had to die on the cross of Calvary. The world would love to see Jesus Christ as a great prophet, as a great teacher, sitting amongst all the great teachers that have been throughout all of history, a great philosopher, just another man of wisdom mixed with all the other men of wisdom. We have the book of the Bible. That's one way to get the knowledge. But we have a lot of other books out there, and we can learn from all of these books. They're all equal because God speaks in many different ways. But God speaks not with a forked tongue. The Bible is God's infallible, inerrant, perfect word. He speaks to us through the words of Scripture. That's how we come to know him, and that's how we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There's no other way to be saved. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, one word of Scripture, in its proper context, Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Christ died on the cross of Calvary because that foolishness of God is so much wiser. Something so simple that can be such a stumbling block is much wiser than all the wisdom of all the ages that man has been thinking about this world, opinionated about this world, presenting his thoughts, presenting his ideas, presenting his science. All that without the cross of Jesus Christ, without the proclamation of the word of Jesus Christ, is foolishness. So we go to our neighbor. We get to know him. At a certain point, we start to talk. We start to talk about nature. Look at the nature all around us. We admire what's in nature. We say something, you know, there must be a creator up there in heaven. And he looks at us like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, you try to share your faith. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Who? I believe in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary. And sometimes words are difficult to come out because we already know that they are falling on ears that would consider those words foolish. But they're not. It's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's interesting, verse 24, it says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When you see those words, to those who are called, called to what? We're called to the cross of Jesus Christ. We're called there at the cross to leave our sins. That Christ died on the cross for all of our sins. We're called, but not only to the cross, we're called to live in Christ. And as we study Scripture, if you study Scripture, there's an inescapable fact that even as our society speaks about a collective society, we are in Christ, and He is the head. And when we're in Christ, we are His body. He calls us out of this world, but He gathers us as His own into the church of Jesus Christ. We are His people. He has called us to be the people of wisdom, the people of God, the people of the cross, a people separated from this world to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and He has called us, He has gathered us, that we may worship our God and our Lord. For to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We have the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, and we have the wisdom of God. And yet we speak this wisdom, and we know that Jesus Christ humbled Himself, and He humbled Himself to death, and we present this message, and for those who are listening to us, they listen to us. They may ask questions. Do you mean that's the way to salvation? Or they may say something, do you mean to say that you are saved? Yes, I've been saved by Jesus Christ. Does that mean that you are going to heaven? Yes, I believe, based on the words of Scripture, based on what God says, based upon the wisdom of God, that I am going to heaven, that I have been justified, that I have been made right, that He has granted me through His Spirit to live a holy life, to live a right life before Him, that He has redeemed me from all of my sins. He's paid the cost for all of my sins. I am saved. And to look at us in the wisdom of this world, and they say, my, aren't you arrogant that you think you are saved and that you think you are going to heaven? And if they have some type of faith in God or in some type of religion, and you ask them, well, what do you think? They'll say, well, I don't know. I'm trying to live a good life, and hopefully I'll be able to get there upon what I'm doing, but how do you expect to get there? Just on the cross of Jesus Christ? That's all there is? And for them, that is not sufficient because they don't understand the power of God represented in the cross of Christ, that Christ came to pay for all of those sins for all of his people from all times, that he is our eternal Savior, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then Paul says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." To the wealthy and to the poor, to those who have their life all together, and to those who are completely broken, to those that the world says are worthless, they're not worth saving. And especially today when we have the whole pro-abortion movement, when we have the euthanasia movement, we come to this world and we say, there is a God, and he is pro-life, and he came to save sinners from all of their sins. As he has saved us, so he can save others. And no matter how broken your life is, no matter how poor you are, into the poorest parts of this world, we go with that message of salvation, and we say, there's a Savior, and he can save you from all of your sins, but you have to believe in him, and he will save you from your sins. That's the wisdom of God. God doesn't go by classes. He doesn't look at the color of your skin. He doesn't go by your status. He doesn't go by your bank account. He doesn't go by your studies. He doesn't go by how much you know or how much you can do or how far you've got ahead in life. He comes to anyone and everyone with that message. You must repent and you must believe in Jesus Christ, for he is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. Why? Paul speaks very clearly. Because it's not what we can do. For those people who think, well, I have to gain my salvation. I just need to do a little bit more. I have to live a better life. Maybe God will save me. Maybe he'll do something to save me. Looking at who I am, I'm not as bad as that guy. But Paul says, he says in many parts of the Bible, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ, who became wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. All the honor, all the glory is to our Lord and Savior. He's the one. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who has saved us. He has redeemed us from all of our sins. In him, and only in him, there is salvation. This is whom we believe. And we give the glory and the honor to his name and to his name alone. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we come to you in this morning hour and we thank you that you are our great and our holy God. We live in a world that's dying. We live in Western societies that have gone so far, but they've run out. Their wisdom is failing. And they're collapsing in upon themselves as they reject more and more the Word of God, the commandments of God, and as they seek to go alone based on the wisdom of this world. Under the dominion of Satan, they sow the seeds of destruction. Heavenly Father, may we repent of all of our sins. May we look to Jesus. May we say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. In you I have life, life eternal. Bless us, O Lord God, and keep us in your care. We pray in Jesus' name.